The Old Testament comes to a close with the book of Malachi. In Malachi 3:1, there was a promise. Malachi 3:1 says this, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way for me." Who is coming? God is coming. Who is coming? God is coming. We're small, but you have to work with me, right? God is coming. "And he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come into his temple." God is coming. The Old Testament closes with the prophecy that God is coming. And before him, before God comes, there's going to be a messenger. The last two sentences are in the book of Malachi that brings the book of Malachi to a close are Malachi 4:5. It says, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord." These are the Old Testament is going to close after this next sentence. "And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." And with those words, the Old Testament comes to a close. And for a very long time, there's no new revelation that is spoken from God. By the time the New Testament opens, there's been over 500 years since they've witnessed an angel. 500 years is a long time. It's been over 500 years since a recording of a miracle that has taken place. That's a long time. It's been over 400 years since God has said anything. That's a long time. That's multiple life spans. And faithful followers of God held on to those promises of Malachi. They're looking for God to come. They're looking for a messenger who will go before God when he comes. The first story in the New Testament, chronologically, the first events of the New Testament have to do with this man called Zechariah. We studied his life 2 weeks ago. Zechariah was a faithful follower of God. He was righteous, and he was chosen by lot to enter the temple. You will remember all of this. We talked about that. And his job was to place on the altar the coals and the incense representing the prayers of God's people. And when he placed the incense on the altar, a column of smoke would have risen, and he would probably raise his hands in worship of God and close his eyes in prayer, and all of a sudden he realized that he was not alone. He realized there was an angel in the sanctuary there with him. That's the first angel to be recorded in over 500 years. The angel spoke to him. First time there was a message from God in over 400 years. And the angel spoke and told him of a miraculous birth. His wife was going to have a child, and this child was going to be the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies that we had just read. That was the first miracle. His wife was elderly. It was the first miracle in over 500 years. Zechariah did not believe the angel. He doubted the angel, and because of that, he was made so he could not speak, and many people think also he was made deaf. And that story comes to an end with his wife Elizabeth pregnant with what will become John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is going to fulfill the prophecies of the book of Malachi. So that's Zechariah. That's, over here we have who? Zechariah, you're with me. Over here, 6 months later, while Zechariah is in the hill countries of Judea, Mary, a little girl, Mary, is pledged to be married. And she's about 12 to 14 years of age. She's a very young girl. And one day an angel comes to her. In fact, it's the same angel that that came to Zechariah. It's Gabriel. And the angel says to her that even though she's a virgin, she's going to bear a son. And the Holy Spirit was going to come on her and overshadow her. And she would give birth to the Messiah. And Mary, that story comes to a close with Mary saying, "May it be to me as you have said, according to your word." And so we have these two stories that happened. And the really cool thing about today's text is these two stories are going to come together. Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary. Mary is going to come and visit Elizabeth. That is what is taking place in today's text. And today's text is all about Mary discovering that she is not going to have a baby, but Mary discovering that she is actually pregnant. The moment that Mary discovered that she is pregnant. How many of you, actually, I don't want to ask the question. You remember the time that you first found out that you're going to have a child? Do you remember that moment? For my wife and I, I'll tell you our story. I was a youth pastor at a church in Greenville, and our friends were putting on a parenting class, and they invited us to attend this parenting class. And I couldn't figure out why we would attend a parenting class when we're not parents. And so our friends sold us on this class by saying, "Well, you're a youth pastor. You ought to know something about parenting." And then they also said, "Someday you're going to become a parent and you'll learn some things." So we got sold on the class. We joined it. It was a large class. And inside that class, there were three other couples who were in the same situation as us. They didn't have any children, were not pregnant. And by the end of the class, all three couples were expecting babies. I wonder why. I was convinced that we couldn't have children. Just in my mind, I thought that was not going to happen. And I just thought we would have children through adoption. That was kind of in my mind the way I thought it would go. Well, one day, Melanie showed up and she had a pregnancy test, and it was positive. And I looked at that and thought to myself, the test is wrong. So we went to Walmart, and I bought multiple kinds of different pregnancy tests, and they all came back positive. So then I thought we were doing something wrong. We didn't know the right way to administer the test. I was fully convinced that we could not be pregnant, and that we would not have children. So my wife scheduled a doctor's appointment, and I went to that doctor's appointment with her, and the nurse called her in the back, left me in the lobby to take the test, and then she called us back into the examination room, and the nurse started her conversation with my wife. You know, my wife is sitting on the examination table, that would be weird, but sitting on the examination table, and she says, the nurse's first words were, "Well, let's see if we can figure out your due date." I'm sitting in the chair off to the side, and I'm like, and Melanie and her are talking. They're just do-do-do-do-do, back and forth, talking. They determine a birth date or a due date. They determine first appointments for prenatal care, and they're just talking away, just like ladies can do. And I'm sitting there just like dumbfounded, and so I interrupted them, and I asked the nurse a question. I said, "Does this mean we're going to have a..." She laughed, just like you did. And she said, "Yes." And I was just like, wow. I mean, I had no words. So eventually the nurse left, and my wife looked at me, and she said, "Are you excited?" I'm like, ugh. I told her, I think the nurse should be more professional. She deals with this stuff all the time. She at least she could say, come in and sit down. Your lives are about to change. You know, like work her way up to it. But just to jump right into the due date thing, that is like way beyond me. And so the truth was, I was quite excited. I didn't think it was possible. I was quite excited. I tried to go back to work, but I couldn't focus. I was so excited. I wanted so bad to tell our families. There's a whole nother story there with my families, because I played an April Fool's joke on them earlier about April Fool's, you know, like, Mom, can you get Dad on the phone? He gets on the phone. There's going to be addition to our family, and they're all excited. And I said, "Hey, April Fools, don't do that one, and don't you kids do it either." But that day, that night, as it would happen, Melanie's sisters had a championship game, so the whole family was going to be together. They lost the championship. They went out to McDonald's afterwards. McDonald's was completely packed with people from the game, and her parents and her parents, godmother and grandparents were all there, and they were all talking about how bad the refs were. You know how that goes. And they were all sad that they lost the championship game, and so I interrupted them and said, "Melanie and I have an announcement." And then McDonald's went silent. I must have said that really loud. I don't know. And then I told them that we were going to have a baby. And instantly, everything exploded, like eruption. The whole and tears and hugs and the whole deal went down. And even people we didn't know in McDonald's came and congratulated us. Now, my parents, when we told them, it was a different response. They said, "We're not going to fall for your jokes." But do you remember the moment that you discovered your life was going to change? The moment you discovered you were going to be a dad, or that you were going to be a mother? This portion of Scripture tells us the discovery moment where Mary discovered that she wasn't going to have a baby, but Mary discovered she was actually pregnant. I want us to look at this. First thing I want to look at is, just to avoid any confusion, I want to look at Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and show this is when the angel came to Mary. And I'm going to ask the question at the passage of Scripture, Luke 1, 30 to 38. It says this, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.'" Is she pregnant now? Are you with me? No, she's not. That's the right answer. Verse 32, "And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Is she pregnant yet? There's no baby yet. Okay. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?'" She's clearly not pregnant. "And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" Is she pregnant yet? No, she's not pregnant. Verse 36, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the Lord's servant. I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed." Is Mary pregnant yet? No. Okay, you with me? This is the great reveal. In Mary's day, there was no pregnancy test. There were nothing like that. Mary is a very young girl, 12, 13 years old, and this is her telling the story. The moment I discovered that I was pregnant, but not just pregnant, pregnant with God, Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is what is going on in this story. And so we look now, let's look at the discovery time where Mary discovered that she was pregnant. Let's look at Luke 1:39. Luke 1:39, it should be on the screen behind me. It starts by saying, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the town of Judah." A lot is going on in this little girl's mind. I want to tell you a story that happened in my life, because I think it parallels a little bit, not too much, because my story has nothing to do with Christ. But one day when I had graduated from high school, I was going to the community college in the area. I was not knowing what I was going to do with my life. I was just taking general ed courses, and I didn't know God's plan for my life. And that particular morning, my dad asked me, he was the band director at the Christian school that I had graduated from. My dad said, "What are you doing today?" And I said, "Well, I have nothing." And he said, "Well, if you have time and want to, you can attend chapel at the school and just do that." And that morning, as I was getting ready, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me in a very real way. The Lord said to me, "The speaker for the chapel is not going to be there today." That it was like an inner voice. I just knew that was the Lord speaking to me. And it was so clear. Though it was an inner voice, I spoke out loud and I said, "Well, that's crazy." And I heard that inner voice say to me, "I want you to speak for me." And I said, "I don't even have a clue what I would say. I mean, to stand in front of people, who, I don't have a clue what I would say." And then that inner voice said to me, "Speak on the parable of the sower." So there was about a 30-minute drive from our house to the school, and I'm driving in my car to the school. I brought my Bible, because if this actually happened, it would be crazy. And I brought my Bible, I'm driving into school, and I thought to myself, wouldn't it actually be insanely crazy if this actually happened? Wouldn't that, like, if that actually took place, there would be no doubt in my mind that God spoke to me. That would be amazing if that actually happened. And so I pulled into the parking lot, I approached the school, I have my Bible in my hand, and I walk down the hallway. I see my dad at the end of the hallway. I reach my dad at precisely the same time the principal got to my dad, and the principal told my dad, "You're not going to believe it, our chapel speaker canceled for today." And so I was like, and he asked my dad if he would speak. Well, long story short, I fumbled through the first message I had ever taught, and then when I sat down, I just knew that was God's will for my life. I just knew that that was God's calling in my life. Here we are in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. "In those days, Mary arose," she's in Nazareth, "and she went to the hill country of Judea." That's about 80 miles or so. And it says there, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste." Like, she's moving fast. She's got a mission. She has this thing that has happened to her, and she's going as fast as she can to the hill country of Judea. And on her way, she's thinking, this thing that has happened to me is like crazy. Either I am going insane and I'm seeing things, or God really is going to be working in my life in a major way. And she, as she approaches the house, she's looking for one thing. What is she looking for? She's looking for a big belly. That's one thing. The one thing. The 6 months pregnant. By the way, in Liberia, they don't call women pregnant. They call it big belly. You have big belly. and that's just kind of a fun thing. But that is seriously what Mary is looking for. She's going to the house, and she's looking for a big belly. And if she sees that big belly, then she already believes, or she wouldn't be making this journey. But if her elderly aunt literally is pregnant, but not just pregnant, 6 months pregnant at that time, then there's no doubt in her mind that what the angel has said is actually going to take place, because what's the chances of that event actually happening? Those are some of the thoughts going through her mind. And then also, we're talking a 13-year-old girl. And 13, 14, somewhere in that age range. And that angel said some really big stuff. Like, you're a virgin and you're going to give birth. Like, put yourself at 13 years of age and wrestle through that a little bit. But you're not just going to give birth. You're going to give birth to the Messiah that everyone is looking forward to. You're going to be the mother of the Messiah? I mean, like, she's like moving fast to Judea, because this thing is too big for her little mind to understand. And then in verse 40, and she enters the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And so this is how I picture it going down. I don't know if she knocked or if she just walked in. Hi, Zechariah. What is she looking for? A belly. Hi, Zechariah. Elizabeth. And Elizabeth turns around and she goes, oh! 13-year-old little girl realizes she's pregnant. And then the weight of everything the angel told her in that moment comes to her. Verse 41, Luke 1, 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. I don't know what that exactly looks like. How does a baby leap in the womb? John the Baptist is who that baby would become, was the first one to point to the Messiah. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? That means revelation is going to come to Elizabeth. She's going to receive from God divine revelation that she would have no way of knowing. And so this is how it went. Hey, Zechariah, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth turns around and she goes, you have the McDonald's thing happening. Everyone discovering that you're pregnant. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on, verse 42 and 43. And she exclaimed in a loud voice, that's McDonald's. That was the event that happened when my sisters start, or I should say Melanie's sister, and the hugs are going on. That's what's going on with this loud voice. She explained in a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should visit me? Let me retell this in modern-day words so that we get a kind of understanding of what is taking place here. Mary knocks. Hi, Zechariah. Elizabeth. Elizabeth turns around. And she says, Mary, you're pregnant! The reveal happened there. You with me? There's no pregnancy test in their day. Mary, you're pregnant. And Mary goes, I'm pregnant? Because she's discovering that what the angel had said has actually already taken place. Mary, you're pregnant. Let us look again at Elizabeth's words, starting in verse 42. She exclaimed in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord, what was spoken to her from the Lord." Those words would have shocked Mary, would have totally shocked Mary. And I think one verse there would have really, the weight of that verse would have hit Mary. This 13-year-old girl, it would have hit her, the weight of what was said in verse 43. I want us to look at Luke 1:43. "Why is it granted to me that the," what's the next word? "Mother of my," "should come to me." I think those words, they hit Mary hard and they carried a lot of weight. I want to talk about mother and I want to talk about Lord. Those two things for the remainder of the service. How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Mom. Very precious name, is it not? It's a very beautiful name. Mom. It's a name of honor. It's a sacred name. It's a holy name. Mom. Mommy. Some of us have kids that call us mommy, and then they grow up, and then mom. And then they grow up a little bit more, and it's mother. Mom. Man, what an incredible, incredible name. It's a name that if you have, it's a privilege, and it's a blessing from God. And it's a name that carries unbelievable responsibility with it, because how you fulfill your role as mom or as dad affects a total future of another person's life. Mom, mommy. It carries immeasurable love, at least it should, an incredible amount of sacrifice. My kids, when they were small, they would wake up in the middle of the night, and Melanie nursed them, and I was really thankful for that, because in the middle of the night, the kids are hungry. But mom is up in the middle of the night. Mom is caring for them, every scratch, everything. Mom, what an incredible name. Did you notice the timing for which Mary was called mom? That's important to notice. The timing. When in Scripture was Mary called by the name mom? Are you with me? Luke 1:42. Let's look and see if we can see it. 41, I'm sorry. "When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." That means she's going to say something from God. God is going to dictate something here. It's authoritative. What she says has authority. The authority of God. And so she explains in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is it granted to me that the mom of our Lord should visit me? When was Mary called mom? It was while Jesus was in the womb. Amen? Are you with me? It was when Jesus was in the womb, Mary, Elizabeth, under the Holy Spirit's leading, called her mom. Maybe you're here today and you're pregnant. Some of you are like, nope, that's not happening. Maybe you're online and you're listening and you're pregnant. I want you to know that the moment you become pregnant, the scriptures say you become what? Mom. Welcome to motherhood. Welcome to motherhood. Mary was 12 to 14 years of age when she was first called mom. She was very young. Her life changed forever in the same way that our lives changed forever, right? The moment that we were called mom. It changed in such a way that it was impossible to go back. Now that you are mom, you are forever mom. Life for Mary went from being called Mary to instantly mom. And then you can't go back, can you? You can't go back. Life had changed in that moment forever. And if God gave Mary the wisdom to mother Jesus, God will give you the wisdom that you need to fulfill the role of mom. I want us to look and see if we can pinpoint the exact moment. How many months Mary is pregnant? Do we have, those of you who are geared toward math, we need to grab how many weeks or months Mary is pregnant at the point in which she is called mom. Are you with me? Okay, let's look at Luke 1:36. This is when the Gabriel appeared to Mary over here before she went to Elizabeth. It says, "Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived, and this is now her 6th month. That's the beginning of our math equation. How many months along is Elizabeth? 6 months, okay? Okay, and then we get to Mary's going to go visit Elizabeth, but we know she was declared to be pregnant at the 6th month, but she's going to go and visit Elizabeth. We don't know exactly the time, but we'll see if we can calculate this. It says, in those days, this is Luke 1:39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country of Judea. So we don't know exactly how long, but we know she went with haste. Are you with me? We're going to try to figure out how many weeks or months Mary is pregnant when she's called mom. Luke 1:56. And Mary remained, so after she's already greeted and she's been there for a little while, it tells us exactly how long she remained at Elizabeth's house. She remained with her about 3 months. That's our second, and the math people are starting adding. So in the 6 months of her pregnancy, Mary was told, was visited by the angel. She went and visited and remained 3 months. 6 plus 3 is 9. How long does it take to give birth? 9 months. So we're trying to figure out how far along Mary is. Mary leaves then. Luke 1:57. Now the time for... So she leaves. That's actually in verse 56. It says she remained there for 3 months and then returned home. And then Luke, the very next verse, now the time of Elizabeth's birth, she bore a son. So when Mary arrived at Elizabeth's house, how many months was she pregnant? What? No? You're not good at math. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. So she's going to go over here. She's going to arrive in the 6th month of her pregnancy, right? And the angel's going to say, or not the angel, Mary's going to say, Elizabeth's going to say, you're going to have a baby. She's already pregnant then, right? And then Mary stays another 3 months. Literally, how long would Mary be pregnant at that point in time?
3 months.
Not 3 months. Say it again. Just pregnant. That's right. Just pregnant. Listen to it online and do the calculations. It's there. Just pregnant. She literally heard from the angel. 6 months pregnant is going to be Elizabeth. She heard from the angel. She goes with haste. She arrives there and spends 3 more months there. But at that moment in time, Elizabeth says, you're pregnant. She is 1 week pregnant, maybe?
One day
pregnant? She is very, she has no morning symptoms, the vomiting, I think they call that morning sickness, that's what it is, morning sickness. She has none of that, okay? She's very, very newly pregnant. The last word, Lord, Lord, please pay attention to this part. Verse 43, and why is it granted to me that the mother of my what? What does she call the baby in the womb? When did Jesus become the Lord? She's, according to you, 1 day pregnant, maybe a week. Are you getting it? When did she call Jesus Lord? When she was maybe a week pregnant, maybe two. Today, I hope you grab this. I want us to take a look at baby Jesus, not from the perspective of the manger. I want us to behold baby Jesus in the womb. And in so doing, I hope you're going to feel incredibly valuable because it shows how far God will go to reach you. According to the scriptures, when Jesus was declared Lord was when he was in the womb. He was Lord. Let us take in, let us realize the reality that our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, our God did not come to us at the peak of human strength, but he came to us at the peak of human weakness, vulnerability, and dependency. Are you with me? I want us to behold God Almighty. We can't possibly wrap our brains around it in the womb, not the baby Jesus in the manger yet. In so doing, we will see the God Almighty, how far God will go to redeem us. We will also see how incredibly valuable we are when we are at our weakest and most vulnerable moments. I want to show a picture up on the screen. Obviously, they didn't have ultrasounds during Jesus' day. But if they did, that's how far God went to save us. Isn't that crazy? But it's more crazy than that because that's an older baby in the womb, right? How far along is Jesus at the point of this whole discussion? How far along is he? He's like just, let's go to the next slide. Like he's way back. Our Lord did that for you and for me. Isn't that crazy? It's quiet in this room. I think we should be like, woo, shouting. It's crazy that God would do that for us. You are incredibly valuable. God, Jesus came to us and identified with us in our weakest, most vulnerable moment, and he put his stamp of approval on us in our weakest, most vulnerable moment in the most awesome way he possibly can by becoming that. That's what Jesus did. Luke 1:43. You can just stay on the ultrasound picture of Jesus, if you would. We're going to hang out there for a little bit. And I'm going to bring it to a close pretty quick. We got 2 pages left in the notes. It says this. I want us to have that in our mind. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my what? Lord, will come to me. Matthew 1, verse 23, and behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. It's a credible thing, this incarnation, God becoming man and identifying with us at the very most vulnerable point of our lives, of our existence. He loves you. You are incredibly valuable to Jesus. God chose to come into the world not at the point of human strength, but at the point of complete vulnerability. He chose to identify with me and with you in our fragile state, the state of weakness, need, and dependency. This tells us how incredibly valuable we are at our weakest and most vulnerable points. It's not until we see God Almighty at a weak point, a vulnerable point, that you can come to understand the value of a human soul. I don't know if you're hearing my words. Read just 4 passages of Scripture. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen the glory of the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here's another verse, Philippians 2:6. Though he was God, in the form of God, so he's like God over here, he did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. It's incredible, isn't it? Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Amen? But one who in every respect was tempted as we are, but without sin. Hebrews 2:17. For this reason, he was made like them. He was made like us. Amen. Praise God. Fully human in every way, God became man in order that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest in the service of God, and that he might make atonement for our sins. The world measures value based upon ability, strength, and accomplishments. God measures value by the soul of a human being. You are immeasurably valuable to God. I hope you see that. You are immeasurably valuable to God. Someday you're not going to have the strength. I had a stroke once, and I thought about showing a video of when I had the stroke because I was trying to just say happy birthday to my son, and I couldn't produce. Someday that's you. When you're going to become unable, you're going to become weak. Someday that's you. It's going to happen to all of us. And in that moment, are you going to feel valuable? If you can see the immense value of us at our weakest point, when Jesus puts his stamp of approval on us at our weakest, most valuable, vulnerable point, then we will also feel incredibly valuable. In my stroke, I couldn't read my Bible. I couldn't do my prayer journaling. It was on the computer. I couldn't put shoes on my feet. And so I went to God, and I'm like, God, I want to meet with you, but I can't. Like, this doesn't work, my prayer journal, like, and then I just felt unbelievably loved by God just because I was me. You are loved by God just because he is you. Okay, last verse, bring it all to a conclusion. We'll end really lighthearted. Luke 1:45, okay? Luke 1:45, it says this. This is Elizabeth. And go back to this scene, Mary's like, and Elizabeth's like, and Zachariah is just kind of standing there, right? Go back to that scene and see if you see a little sarcasm in Elizabeth's voice where Zachariah's here, Mary is there. Zachariah can't speak, right? Maybe he can't even hear, but he can't speak because he didn't believe God, right? Are you with me? And so Elizabeth says these words. Blessed is she who believes. Maybe a little louder. Zechariah, blessed is she who believes. That it would be fulfilled of what the Lord has spoken to her. We are blessed when we believe also that God's word is true, and that everything in his word, everything spoken to us will be fulfilled. Today we looked at the moment Mary discovered she was pregnant. This week I challenge you to look upon baby Jesus not in the manger, but think about baby Jesus in the womb.